Bellman gets paid. Welcome to the Crunch Exchange. That's how we wrap up Crunch Time on a Wednesday, where I bring up a prospectus from the world of sports. Steve tells us if he's buying or selling. Ah, yes, Kevin Durant. If it weren't for LeBron James, the case could be made that KD has been the center of the NBA universe for about the last 3 years. He's certainly been the center of the NBA playoffs after he was injured in the Rockets-Warriors series and what the Warriors did after he was out. We were reminded that the Warriors were a fun team with Steph running the offense. He ended up with more shots. The Splash Brothers went splash again. And people thought that the Warriors were actually better without Kevin Durant, as funny as that sounds. Now the entire future of the NBA is in limbo after Durant went down with a ruptured Achilles. There's so much strong, high-quality game theory that can be going on around the Durant decision now. KD has a player option for $31.5 million next season, or he can sign up to a five-year, $221 million deal with the Warriors, or he can opt out and sign with another team for a max four-year, $164 million deal. We've already seen that KD doesn't really care about the Supermax deal because when he left the Thunder, and why would you when you're the 10th highest-earning athlete in 2018? Would any team be willing to give KD a Supermax deal and waste a year of it while he rehabs? If Durant opts in, will he be able to ever perform at a level that will show he's worth of a Supermax for 2020-2021? Does KD even want to leave the Warriors? Is this the last chance for KD to get one big contract? Is now the best time to cash in the prospectus? Kevin Durant will opt out of his contract with the Warriors.
You think he's going to opt out now?
That's what I'm asking you.
I've got to see what the doctors say, because it's probably his only way to get paid. I don't know if anybody's going to max him out from a hospital bed. So I'm going to do the rare pending.
Ted, my boy, it's going to be legend. Wait for it.
So let's assume Kevin Durant does opt out. The Knicks have been talked about as the landing spot for KD for 3 years now. KD leading the Knicks to glory for the first time in over 30 years. The East is down with LeBron gone. The Knicks are going to get Zion. They're going to trade for Anthony Davis. They're going to sign KD. The Knicks are essentially an NBA 2K franchise mode that's being played on easy. That is, until the Nets threw themselves into the ring by trading away two future first-round picks that opened up a second max player slot in Brooklyn. The rumors were swirling that night after KD went down that the Knicks are still more than ready to give KD the max, because even one wasted year of a three-year deal is 3 years of KD, which is significantly more than 0 years of KD. It could be a signing that saves a GM his job, gives the possibility of recruiting more stars, and for the first time ever, making the Knicks relevant again. The Knicks might be scared of KD and his injury and reportedly going to make a push for Kawhi Leonard and his impending free agency as well. So the prospectus, assuming KD does opt out, the Knicks should make signing KD a priority.
They can't pay a guy $40 million they know is going to sit. No, please sell that.
Oh boy. The true center of the NBA universe is forever going to be LeBron James. His injury sent the Lakers spiraling from the 3 seed to the number 4 pick, and the Pelicans went from a near playoff contender to owner of the number 1 pick. What a happy coincidence. Now Rich Paul, agent for LeBron James and Anthony Davis, landed himself on the cover of Sports Illustrated and is making waves talking about the exact plan he has for Anthony Davis. There are 3 teams that are strongly in the running for the Brow: the Celtics, the Lakers, the Knicks, and according to Rich Paul, AD would take a trade to the Celtics, but he has no interest in signing there long-term and would then simply leave as a free agent. There's a Woj bomb dropped this afternoon saying that the Lakers have discussed sending the number 4 pick as a part of their package for the All-Pro Center, and nothing yet on the New York front other than they're probably going to nick this up and end up signing Kemba Walker and overpaying Trevor Ariza. Playing with the Lakers has been a dream of AD's, and with one agent working both sides of this deal and only really one team in the running, it seems near impossible that AD won't end up in LA at some point. The prospectus, Anthony Davis will be traded to the Lakers.
That seems to be what he wants. If you read in between the lines, he's got an affinity for the Lakers. And obviously, with LeBron and now with a new front office, because some people ain't going to be there anymore. I think this makes sense, though. I would like to see him end up in New York, but only if he was going to sign long term. So I am going to buy that.
Hunter Pence is having a hell of a renaissance season. He has more home runs through 51 games this season than he did in his last four seasons with 14. He has the highest slugging percentage of his career, 20 points higher than his full season career high, and he's 36 years old. The Giants specifically didn't re-sign Pence because he was so horrible while playing baseball last year. Last night, he hit the easiest inside the park home run in the history of baseball, which also made him the oldest person to hit a home inside the park homer since Derek Jeter did it at 36 years, 26 days old in 2010. And of course, Hunter Pence looks like a crazy person doing all of this with his pants up, drawn up to his mid-thighs, his crazy eyes, his wild hair, the whole nine yards. Pence is second in AL All-Star Game voting for the DH position behind J.D. Martinez, but J.D.'s leading by 160,000 votes. Now, the new All-Star Game voting process means that if Pence is in the top three of his position, he gets put into the general election, where the starter will be chosen during one day of voting, where anything can happen. The prospectus, Hunter Pence will start the All-Star Game as the NAL's DH.
Wow. By the way, he's having a really good year.
He's really good.
But I'll tell you one thing. A friend of mine once said years ago, I guess either 2010 or 2012 postseason, said he always looks medicated.
Yes.
He's got crazy eyes. I don't know if I buy that. Right now, I would say with the voting in its early stages as a new American leaguer, I'm going to sell that.
Last one. Two best words in sport come to life tonight at the Garden. Game 7, the last NHL game of the year. One team is going to end it by lifting the cup, and for the first time since 2011, we have a cup final that's going to a Game 7. It was the night that the Bruins won the Stanley Cup in 2011, and Vancouver rioted after. It's just the ninth Game 7 in the Stanley Cup final since 1968, and home teams in those nine games are 6-3, but the last two went on the road, or to the road team. Boston in 2011, Pittsburgh was the other in 2009. The Bruins took games 6 and 7 against the Maple Leafs in the first round, which is eerily similar to what could go down tonight in Boston. The Bruins also have two key mystical factors on their side: karma, because of the St. Louis Dispatch jinxing the Blues, and momentum after the big game 6 win. The prospectus, the Bruins will win the Stanley Cup by winning game 7.
By the way, first time ever they've hosted a Game 7 in a Stanley Cup final. When they won it with Orr in 70, it was at St. Louis. I vividly remember them winning Game 6 at the Garden in New York in 72. And like you said, the riot in 2011. No, I will not give in. This has nothing to do with analysis or anything. I'm rooting against them. Screw Boston. Go Blues. They're going to win the Stanley Cup tonight. Take all analysis out of it. Go completely heart and dive straight forward into the buzzsaw.